Alright, I'm going to do it. I give you a drink, let me drink, but I'm going to do it. I see how to do it. I give you a drink, let me drink, but I'm going to do it. 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 他把托古都三百三百的，我们这个加压的高面地铁加压，他把等于三百加压的，地多你，三百的等于三百，准备的，接当，安尼的准备接呢？安尼的准备托呢？我这个准备出现三百准备，安尼，把这些准备写了，安尼各种嘞，三百的写了，地主的人们来接过来噻，就做地铁是俺做加压的地铁，今年银子，俺可是俺做的。
Good evening. So last week we continued to look at the presentation of the practices that are shared with or in common with a practitioner of intermediate capacity. We have been looking then at, last week was the third week, so over these 3 weeks, we've looked at what is meant by a practitioner of intermediate capacity. And such a practitioner is someone who has an uncontrived determination to strive for liberation. So this a person, a practitioner, who without needing to intentionally generate, has this naturally arising wish at all times to strive for liberation. Such a person is a practitioner of intermediate capacity. So what is this liberation that such a practitioner is striving for? Well, this is a state that is liberated from suffering, a state that's liberated from cyclic existence. And what is that state? It's a state where the afflicted minds, together with their seeds, have been completely abandoned. That is liberation. One is liberated from being under the control of one's afflictions. Such a practitioner, for such a practitioner to give rise to this sustained wish, this uncontrived wish for liberation, they reflect on how our suffering pervades cyclic existence. And it's through reflecting again and again to subtler levels how suffering pervades all beings within cyclic existence, all experiences that are bound within samsara, that this practitioner gives rise to the wish to be freed of cyclic existence, or really a determination to be freed of cyclic existence. So that determination comes about independence on reflecting on the faults of cyclic existence. And then what are the practices that a practitioner of intermediate capacity engages in? So having given rise to this wish to attain liberation, they then engage in the practices of generosity, ethical restraint, patience, choice, perseverance, concentration, and sixthly, wisdom. So those are the practices they engage in order to eliminate the afflictions and to give rise to this wish of wanting to eliminate the afflictions. This comes about through first reflecting in detail on the sufferings of samsara.
Chizan
And in particular, last week, we spoke about how to actually achieve liberation. So in the week, 2 weeks ago, we looked at, in some detail, the suffering, how suffering pervades cyclic existence. Last week, in particular, we spoke about the achievement of liberation and how this comes, how one achieves this. So this first one needs to understand clearly what cyclic existence is, and in particular, what keeps this wheel of samsara turning. So cyclic existence is often likened to a prism. So here the analogy is the chains that keep us bound in cyclic existence. Those chains or the bars on the windows of the prism, these are our own afflicted minds. And it's these afflicted minds that cause us to ensure that all the karma we accumulate is contaminated by the presence of these afflictions. And then last week in particular, what we looked at was that these afflictions, the vast array of these disturbing emotions, have as their root ignorance, and in particular ignorance of self-grasping. And this, from this root, all our afflictions follow, and thereby ensure that all our karma we accumulate, whether it's virtuous or non-virtuous, is contaminated by the presence of the afflictions, in particular the root affliction, the ignorance of self-grasping. And last week we spoke about what is the ignorance of self-grasping, as well as how to eliminate it. The way to identify the ignorance of self-grasping is first to see how the self appears to us. And the way the self, or our sense of self, our self-identity appears to us is the same way as every phenomena appears. Every phenomenon that appears to our mind appears as if it is unchanging and independent, so not influenced by anything at all, or to express that differently, self-existent. So this is how our sense of self appears to us. It's how all phenomena appear to us. Then we need to investigate to see if our sense of self exists in this way. Last week we spoke about this process of investigation, and we come to see that the self does not exist in this way at all. And it's in this way we come to see that the way the self appears is totally mistaken, is wrong. And therefore, the mind that grasps at the self or believes that the self exists in the way that it appears is a mind of ignorance, because it's not in accordance with reality. The mind that understands this is a mind of wisdom. It's a wisdom understanding selflessness, or wisdom understanding emptiness. And so he's looked at that in some detail last week. And here, this practitioner of intermediate capacity, when they come to an understanding of emptiness, they will then know that liberation is possible. And with this powerful determination, they will develop the union of calm abiding and penetrative insight on emptiness. And in this way, they will eventually be able to break the chains of these afflictions, break this entire process or this entire wheel of samsara, and gain liberation from samsara.
Then 탑시로 디 삼바 타바 토구두 삼비 돈여게 삼바디 슈크처 줘야래야 먼저 탑람 가르 공부를 삼나 가르당 고를 랍나 지상 코르기 최들의 균형 고래제 지상 코왈의 코위기 최들의 균장야 통도 데 균통도 아제 코왈의 덴데 균자 델레데 타고 삼비 삼로지 신이리 고래 지상 균주 통바이나 마저 자라이나 가르이네 균주 통바네 디 먹어 삼비 델레 지역을 와다가 뒤에서 무슨 나 뒤에서 사제들 앞에 교인 시골 통에 아들에게 다 전달지 로고 선배 삼로 이기로 아마도 룸베들의 교인 균에 마하나 델에 전나 줘야기 되버리 말아 지금 소수의 뒤에서 있나다 룸베다 교인 시골 강하다 교인다 교인자야 통에 델에지 다 전달지 로고 선배 삼로 휴침을 이기로 와 디나신 아주 코와리 교인 통지고 교인하고 같이 휴체 통통배네 타바더니 삼바도 휴체로 고래 타바더니 삼바도 같이 휴체로 나가도 람 율에게야라 타냐는 요로고 지나 람 냠는 지에기 당보 고주에 타바 토부도 선배 삼로디 자야래 되네 고주고래 디 타바 토부도 선배 삼로 되니기 휴침보 요야기 타블람 가르 삼당 고래세네 코와리에 균다고 그래, 균통고 그래, 균다고 그래. 지금 균 맞다는 균 통해요 말이야. 지금 균이 삼당의 균 망부 통고 그래. 되는 이제 코위 确立呀, 捐大火的, 捐什么大火的, 这会儿。
How then to generate the path of the mental path that is the mind striving for liberation? Well, such a mind only comes about in dependence on the cultivation of particular causes. Right now, if we've heard about liberation, we may have some aspiration to attain it, because especially when we hear it's a state freed of suffering, a state of lasting, abiding peace that's not interrupted by moments of pain or misery. But yet, this wish doesn't dominate us. It doesn't pervade our every waking moment. It doesn't motivate our every activity. And the reason for this is because we have not yet to come to understand with vivid clarity that suffering pervades every samsaric experience. We have not yet come to understand with vivid clarity that there's no delight within samsara, no enjoyment or pleasure within samsara that is worthy of longing for or striving for, because in its very nature it is pervaded by suffering. We've heard these teachings many times and reflected on it. We will understand this intellectually, but we haven't become habituated to this way of thinking, and thereby our behavior, our way of thinking, remains untransformed. So in order to give rise to a determination that's unshakable, a determination to attain liberation from samsara, we have to understand with vivid clarity that's what samsara is. That all samsaric experiences are pervaded by suffering. And anything that appears delightful, desirable, is deceptive in nature. While our interpretation of it is one where we have deceived ourselves. So the more we reflect on the sufferings of samsara, seeing samsara as pervaded by faults and flaws, the stronger and more sustained will be the wish to attain freedom or liberation from cyclic existence.
Midang, hey, you do my gang at you, and the chicken, my share that the Marcos were.
This is a topic that we didn't only start looking at now. Actually, back in February, we were looking at the sufferings of the lower realms, the sufferings that beings are experiencing right now, beings who are born as an animal, as a spirit, or in the hell realms. We looked at the sufferings that are being experienced there and potentially await every being at the point of every death. So we looked at the sufferings of the lower realms, and now we come to, in the text, to look at the sufferings that are experienced by beings in the happier migrations, in the upper realms. So we write at the bottom of page 27. However, even the higher realms are not beyond the reaches of suffering. As you progress along the path, you must eventually face this truth. So here we see higher realms, and this is because when we spoke about the sufferings of lower realms, that was in the context of the practitioner of initial capacity. And now we are in the context of the practitioner of intermediate capacity. So months ago then we looked at the sufferings that are experienced by beings in the hells and the spirit realms and in the animal realms. Now we come then to look at the experiences of beings in the upper realms, that of humans and demigods and gods. We look at this because it is quite evident that being born in the lower realms, the sufferings of a being born in the lower realms is quite evident. But it's very likely that there are degrees of confusion about rebirth in the upper realms. One may think that perhaps certain humans, or certainly amongst the gods, these are rebirths that are marked by happiness, and in fact may be free of suffering. So this is a mistake, and this is why we now come to look at the sufferings experienced in the so-called upper migrations, because as we looked at 2 weeks ago, wherever one is born, if one is born due to contaminated karma, or karma that has been infused with the afflictions, one will suffer. And that is because every being, wherever born in samsara, their experience is pervaded by suffering. A couple of weeks ago, when we looked at the suffering nature of cyclic existence, I mentioned that in order to give rise to this wish to be freed from cyclic existence, one has to understand that cyclic existence is pervaded by suffering. Because unless one sees the faults of something, one won't give rise to the wish to be freed from it. Just like unless one sees where one the place where one lives as being unsatisfactory, one will never think to move from there. And I also mentioned at the time there are different ways to approach this topic or to develop this understanding of the suffering nature of cyclic existence. And at that time, we looked at the most common division, a division into three, which is the suffering of physical and mental pain, the suffering of transient pleasure, and all-pervasive suffering. So that's the most common division, and we looked at that. But I also mentioned at the time that in your meditation, you need to approach this topic of the unsatisfactory nature of cyclic existence through many different perspectives. So that was one way to look at it, through those three perspectives. And there are other ways. There's the sixfold presentation on suffering and the eightfold presentation on suffering. And our texts now come to the division of suffering into eight. So these, of the eight, the first four are in more detail, and then the second four are a little bit more abbreviated. So on page 28, we have the suffering of birth, then aging, then old age. And over the page, we come to, in the top paragraph, the suffering of death. And then in that large middle paragraph on page 29, and the paragraph below, we have the other four divisions. The suffering of meeting the unwanted, the suffering of being separated from the wanted, the suffering of not getting what you want, and the suffering of having the five contaminated aggregates. So this is the eightfold division of suffering. The first four are birth, illness, old age, and death. And then fifthly, the suffering of meeting the unwanted, the suffering of being separated from the wanted, the suffering of not getting what you want, and the suffering of having the five contaminated aggregates.
nga tharpo thokku du sanpi ki dunye samlo di shuk chinpa ma lewa de kar chiba resi ne di suki dini ki diki nga zuki kyun yinpa thonggu o ma re, ha gu gu o ma re chesna ta ma thongwa zan di su kyun resi ne di si su kyun dini yo resi ne ngo chui chi go re chesna dini ki kyun resi ne dini ki thong chi nga zu kyun di o ta kyun yinpa ha gu sun o di le tharpo du sanpi samlo shi ki yuwa chesna ta nga zuki le ta nyumma wongi mir kyeba yina kyun dini yo re siya chi ro da An jun dini xueba na dila ta gu gu ba na za an jun mehen de gao yore lab du da le da nyomo wange ma che ba le da nyomo we shangwa da mo songwa da mo lam na gewa jang jang lu dhubdu ba xin na dini ke kanga de yo ma le si gu da che za dini zang tu ko ni xe gu bende mo zha be ya gu xu qi yo ba xe del ya mo zha jik yo ba ji di ni jik di du ga xue ba xe da bu lo qin na 我这个鱼没看见呢，阿就让毛扎西话，怕他那人知道，人家人知道，可不是有的。现在军的个地里压个地，地压个马的是军，有没得？我是好土马了哇。现在地里没吃的，地毛扎的压过来的，地毛扎地里啊，可老了军有的，就可老穷穷来的哇，现在地里个军是吃，那囊了，多少地里地里地里军多啊，股票穷穷嘛，都没多几几多，才军就些的。
俺南罗给他引进的了，军进的就是靠宿迁部太多，南沙凑不起来，吃腊肉了，啥的。对那个是蒙古人，俺国家的国的了，顶不要嘛，这军有了啥？就像火罗党、国党、南罗、德沙党、英吉党，俺这这上就军军了，是军蒙古主要的。就像米萨姆那个啊的，对了的军需多，他对的军的这这国还没多啊，你地下有事了，地国多啊，是别个，等你上罗的地国多，是别个，他们军也宿迁不离个了。
现在，这里军将也通的，俺是党部啊，毛这个鱼没还好，这，但是几百人通过了的，俺这军也马虎马了，这鱼人这个，你地里的，地里的，地里多啊，地多啊，现在我这儿这这些都，俺那么说，哦，这地好过样的，哦，这地军多，这地没好，这也还是过过的噻，他们家里有是吧？我地那些的，俺这个，就是来到牛毛我给米里接完的，刚刚点的，用过的也是，俺是我这儿这过来，但到来到牛毛我就米里接完，刚刚点的，有呢。 刚刚没看那个好有的是，来到牛毛被消化的马上往去接完呢，但毛给别在于多不了，开发讲讲来的呢，解决不赢呢，刚刚这个用不来些了。现在的那人家，听俺做了，军的我吹，我俺做好过过嘛，好莫过完张，他不等于什么机构来图过嘛，就是俺做了，军的那点那要是俺做我吹这个，结果了，但毕竟难嘛。
before embarking on this exploration, again, I want to make this point because okay, going to this presentation on suffering, it can be a bit heavy on the mind. So it's important, it's clear why we need to look at this. The reason that we remain trapped in cyclic existence is because we have not yet identified the reason why we are trapped here. In fact, we still are largely ignorant about our suffering experiences, or that our experiences are ones of suffering. We still see our cyclic existence, the human experiences, as being pleasurable, that there is happiness worthy of striving for within cyclic existence. In that way, our mind stays very narrow and very narrow and short-sighted. So we need to see with vivid clarity that there is nothing worth striving for in samsara. There's no happy experience worthy of longing for. When we see that, we will look for a rebirth where one does experience happiness, lasting, stable happiness, a peace of mind that is never disturbed. And that is rebirth that is taken through uncontaminated karma and prayer, or pure karma and prayer. So this is a process that we utilize in our daily life. For example, if you're thinking you need to buy a new car, so there are many options. You'll investigate what are the benefits of this one, the faults of that one, investigate well. And if you've narrowed down to two, you'll look at in details and you'll see, oh, this one's not so desirable. That's the one I want. And with that knowledge, you'll ensure that you will achieve your goal of buying this particular car. So that's the same process as we need to bring to our samsaric experiences. We need to see with vivid clarity that wherever one is born in cyclic existence, whatever experiences one has, as long as they are still in the nature of samsara, they will be in the nature of suffering. And until we gain vivid clarity of this, we need to reflect in great detail on the reality of samsara in order to give rise to the wish to be freed from the situation and attain a state freed of pain, freed of misery, freed of suffering. My hope is that as we go through this class, you keep in mind what has just been said, because I understand the experience most people have, or many people have, when they, for example, watch the news. They hear about all the problems in the world and in the community, and they hear one person being interviewed and complaining, and another person interviewing and complaining, and you come away from watching the news or reading the news, and you're unhappy at the desperate state of affairs in this world. Your mind is unhappy, your mind is weak, and you feel powerless about what is going on around you. So in such a situation, so that is not the result that one should come to. That's not the state one should come to from the topic that we're looking at here. Here, I'm not saying it so clearly. Because in those cases, it could be argued that ignorance is better. Ignorance is bliss. Not knowing is better. At least you're in a better mood if you hadn't watched the news than if you did. But here, the way we need to approach this topic is knowing that knowledge empowers us. So here, through this knowledge, we develop wisdom. We come to understand with vivid clarity our situation. Our veils of confusion become lifted. Here, knowledge empowers us. The first of the eight sufferings of humans is that of birth. So being in the context of humans, then we only look at the form of birth from a womb. And so this talks about the experience from conception and through the growth of the child in the womb and the birth process. So that's what it looks at in this first, for us, the first paragraph here, the suffering of birth. Human beings, for example, are wrapped in suffering. While in the womb, they suffer from darkness, constriction, and immersion in filthy substances. So here then, this refers to the process from conception as the child grows within the womb. A couple of weeks ago, when we looked at the threefold division of suffering, then this first suffering here in the eightfold division, the suffering of birth, this falls under the first of the three, threefold division, the suffering of physical and mental pain. Reading this experience of suffering that's presented here, one may well have some doubts, thinking that so a fetus is experiencing. Does the fetus experience? Are these experiences for a fetus ones of suffering? For example, we see here that it suffers from darkness. Is the fetus even aware that it's in a state of darkness? And we see that it mentions here that it smells within the womb. And so can the fetus smell? And it's immersed in filthy substances. Is the fetus even aware of this? So if the fetus, is the fetus aware of this? And if not, can it really be called a suffering? Because is the fetus actually suffering whilst in the womb? So it's quite possible one will have such doubts. My personal opinion as to whether the child is aware of its situation in the womb is, well, perhaps, but probably not. But actually, if to put a lot of analysis into whether the child in the womb is aware of its surroundings or experiences suffering or not, it's not really so necessary. There's not much benefit that comes from thinking about this too much. A better way to approach this, to approach why this is presented and how therefore to reflect on it, is if we take something that we have seen. We've seen how some young children come into this world and their immediate surroundings, and we see in our world a wide disparity between those who are impoverished, especially in nations where impoverished nations, where the poor people, the poorest amongst the poor people in such a nation, those children born into immense poverty, their clothing, the environment they're born into is not clean. Their bedding, their rags, they're wrapped in rags. Their bedding is filthy. Their home they live in is not entirely clean. They really are in quite a pitiful situation. And when we see this, naturally compassion will arise for this child, because we know how other children, or what environment other children are born into. They're born first into a clean hospital, then they come to a clean home. Their linen, their clothing is clean. The home has a lovely fragrance. Completely different circumstance. And when we look at those two, on one hand, compassion will naturally arise for the impoverished child. Secondly, for ourselves, we know which rebirth we would rather have in our future lives. We'd much rather be born into a clean environment. So naturally, we want a good environment for ourselves as well as for others, to be born into a clean and pleasant environment. And then moreover, and when we think this way, even though in reality we know with young children they can play just as happily in the dirt as in a clean environment, they aren't aware of this difference at all. But from our perspective, we do see a difference, and we give rise to this wish: this is the future I want for myself and for others. So this is the way to approach this particular part of the presentation.
Daddy, Nadu, Nipi, Nerabla, Dineka, Yores, a share, the Dus Motrici, Shayu, Mangazu, Diniki, Kanga, the Kimo, Dile, Yagashi, your body, Donyaki, Tondala, and also the Dinitin Yore, she were attached to the Dinishin, the Dinit in the Pet, Pusso, the Dinika, the Yores, and the Dinna also the Dile Yagashi, the Dile Yagashi, the Karas, or someone to get Tarbi Goba says, No more, Daddy, do you want the Karasan? Leda Numobesh, I want Rajin Meba Dinish Uliores, Carson Judy Leda Numobasa, Savas, the Ungores. Is not a Leda Numobi Unga Mahimbachi Kiwat, Tanya Ludubachi Vena, Dinish Umares, Chesadi, Diniga Kanga Dungo Mares, Chesan Dushish, Sungor, Chesadinis, Kanga Dine Yores, Chesan Dele, Mount of Mahopana, Dele Majewache, Dele Tago Ures, Chesan Tarnaka Tago Relabna. Just not tell a Tao do send the summons of Shuchi, Yagi, Dondala, the Junshi, Tela Junshi, or the Tao do send the summons. Just not tell a Tana Carrioras in it, Tarpa said Togadu, the Niki, or the Dina Shinkanga Yomares or that.
This being the first of the eight sufferings serves the same purpose as all of them, in that it points to the deficiencies within the human experience, and the purpose of this is so as to overcome this deep-grained view we have that there is pleasure to be found within the human experience, let alone samsara in its entirety. Because a rebirth such as a human goes through is a rebirth over which the being, the samsaric being, has no control, in that this rebirth has come about due to contaminated karma. Karma, even though it is virtuous karma, is infused or is created due to the influence of afflictions. And therefore, rebirth is in an environment of darkness and constriction and immersion in filthy substances. Whereas that is not the only type of rebirth that is possible. A being that is liberated from uncontrolled rebirth in cyclic existence, such a being does not take rebirth due to contaminated karma, but rather uncontaminated karma. Karma that has been accumulated freed of the afflictions, or without separated from afflictions, as well as prayer. So here, we are on one hand, this is one of the eight divisions of suffering. And on one hand, it's to point out the fault within cyclic existence. And secondly, to remind us that there is a state better than this, a state freed from the sufferings of samsara.
Mm-hmm. jewa na so da dine nga du kin ne ne sha dunja wa sha dunja sumju sobje la ane ngonje leji lungi de de en jurmi la tempas ji de tang an ju ge dunja sumju sobje to de da dao ku da sha ma ga chi tu go ro dine chi to ro du ane ngo leji wang ge ma an ji leji wo lung sia de da ma lung la ri ma bo ya ya ju he lung de le jin ju lung ma Pavag Lundela, Bishatang Lundela, Tusi Lunga, just the Niki Lungi, Ma Bishatanje, Ma Anzig, Kosore, Ma Dungor, Echere, Ma Jurset, Ma Tumbalas, or Ma Tungores, and a Migla Jamba Ams, Ma Tum, Ma Tungores. And then turn on the Kalakari or Senna, still, still water, Shindu Dungava, said the Ma Tum Daddy. Then, Jadi buat dia dah amal kangat saya, buat kangat saya. Angkab rela buat je macam tu je, kahat je, sihir ya cakap orang. Jadi kab rela bawa dan bawa amal dan buat ni kah, dini ke buat je macam sihir ya. Dunga bawa macam yunggur wa. Jadi dini dah buat je dia kab la, macam tu buat dia macam tuan lagi lumbi macam dia je. Kau cilol macam tuan dusi lagi tu lagi orang macam dia. Kau tu kau bawa cik ram macam bawa cik kalau je macam sihir je bawa.
And then the text continues. When during the last months of the mother's pregnancy, the downward pushing wind comes, the unborn baby feels like a small piece of wood crushed in a giant vise, or like a sesame seed pounded for its oil. Here we have a downward pushing wind. So there are many different kinds of winds or energies that flow in the body and serve particular functions. So there's this downward, what we call downward voiding wind, downward pushing wind. There's the upward moving wind, a fire wind, a pervasive wind, a life supporting wind. There are many different kinds of winds or energies that flow within the body. There are two ways then that this can be expressed. The one that we have here is this, it's a particular wind, the downward pushing wind that pushes the child out at the time of birth, or it can also be expressed as due to the force of the previously accumulated karma, the child is born. So it can be expressed in either way. But what it comes down to is that the birth process that is being presented here is that which an ordinary being endures. So these days, the birth process is very different from how it was at the time in pre-modern times. So now, of course, there's cesarean birth, and even when the cesarean isn't necessary, birth tends to be done in a very safe environment, in hospital environments with skilled professionals around one, and a variety of medication and implements that are there to assist in birth. But until this modern period, birth was a time of great danger for both the mother and the child, and death in childbirth and infant mortality was incomparable to what it is today in our modern world. What is described here is very much a traditional birth, where birth was often done at home in far from ideal circumstances. And here, then, this is presented as the first of the eight sufferings.
Drogon ma chilo dhyo de zene jang shindu jembe den la xia jang an cere me yu chue du rungwa tabi dunga an sueta meba nyam su nyue we na ji yu dunga de dabu yu se chitan dini si ma ami chilo ma dhyo du nga zuki pe bu di nga zuki na du lo jambu shu shi kang la chi xiaba yinba na an bu di liya an nga zu subo liya chama suba na xin dunga an zik ma jiba dunga yung go re si chitan dini yung go re jire
And the text continues. After he emerges from the womb, he feels as though he fell into a pit of thorns, even if he was wrapped in soft garments and placed in a feathery bed. Then again, the purpose of this presentation here, which presents the sufferings that a being experiences in the womb, in the birth process, and once immediately born, the purpose is to remind ourselves that this is how we came into this world, how all other humans, ordinary humans, come into this world, and it's due to being born due to the power of our contaminated karma that was accumulated by our own afflictions. So this being one of eight sufferings leads to the same thought that I want to be freed from suffering. I don't want to suffer in this uncontrolled way like I currently do. And this here is one illustration. Birth, the process of birth. Because as long as one continues to take rebirth without control, without freedom, this is because one will continue to be born due to contaminated karma. Therefore, one will suffer. We need to develop this wish, this understanding, to the point where we give rise to the wish to accumulate pure karma, to ensure that all our karma is virtuous that we accumulate, and eventually it becomes uncontaminated. In other words, not mixed or motivated by the afflictions at all, free from an afflicted motivation, free from the presence of any afflictions. So that is the wish that we're leading to, or we're trying to cultivate within ourselves through reflecting on these various types of suffering.
Then again, the purpose of this presentation here, which presents the sufferings that a being experiences in the womb, in the birth process, and once immediately born, ဒီကြောင့်လည်းဘာတွေရောက်ဖို့လဲဆိုတော့ဒီနေ့ကံကရောမှာလို့ရှိတယ်ကျေစွာတဲ့လေးနာညမောကြောက်ရတယ်လားထောက်ဖို့ရတယ်ကျေစွာလေးနာညမောကြောက်ရတယ်လားကြောက်ရတယ်တင်းတင်းတင်းကံကကြောက်ရတယ်ဒီလေထောက်ဖို့ရတယ်ဒီလေထာနာအနကကြောက်ရမောလမ်နာကြောက်ပါရှိလေတင်းကြောက်ရတယ်မောလမ်နာကြောက်ပါရှိလေကြောက်ရတယ်ဒီနေ့ကစုဖို့တကယ်လားအဲ့ဒီနေ့ကံကမဲ့တကြီးနဲ့ကံကမဲ့အဲ့ဒီကြည်တော့ငါကကြည့်
The goal of reflecting, as has been said, the goal of reflecting on the various types of suffering is to give rise to the strong wish to be freed of all suffering experiences, understanding how cyclic existence is pervaded by suffering, and thereby give rise to a wish to achieve the state of liberation, where one is liberated or freed from cyclic existence. Because then one will take rebirth in a very different form. One will take not rebirth from a womb, but what is called spontaneous rebirth. And this comes about through either, we can say, the pure karma or unhindered karma, as well as prayer. So here then one is born with a fully formed body, whether as a young child or a young person, not as an infant. And one's born in a clean environment, and the text mentioned born in a pure land from a lotus. So somewhere quite something, an experience completely different from what is experienced by ordinary samsaric beings. And this comes about due to a karma that is unhindered, let's just say pure karma that's accumulated without influence from the afflicted minds, as well as prayer. When one is born in such a way, achieves a spontaneous birth as opposed to birth from a womb, then one doesn't only not experience that suffering, the suffering of birth, but there's no aging or illness either. So that's one point to make. A second point is, the text here is very brief on this first suffering, where if one were to look at it in more detail, one could see that there's a wide variety in rebirths from the womb, in that some births are problem-free. Others involve tremendous pain and anxiety. Many infants are born healthy, but others are not. They may suffer from illness, even from within the womb and certainly at birth, or from deformity, from a deformity of some type. So this variety comes about due to the variety in the karma that propels the rebirth. The more virtuous it is, a taint of non-virtue that there is, leads to these different outcomes at birth, either greater suffering being experienced or deformity of some type. So this is also a way to reflect, leading to the same point of committing to strive to accumulate only virtuous karma, and as well as reducing the strength of our afflictions. So not merely refraining from non-virtuous acts, but ensuring the mind is virtuous. When one experiences the result of having experiences the result of a rebirth through the power of prayer and uncontaminated karma, where is one born spontaneously? Where is the lotus within which one is born? Well, that is in the pure land of Tushita. So The Pure Land of Tushita we usually see depicted in tankas, such as the one there of Ajasattva. So there's this majestic environment that is depicted in the tankas of waterfalls and lakes and beautiful flowers, flowers that are always fresh and never wilt, and of pleasant fragrances, and really a place that not only pleases the senses, but where all one's wishes are fulfilled. One has no needs, because all that one does need is there and attained. Also, whilst the Pure Land, as well as the beings born there, are impermanent, they don't decline like we decline. So everything in our samsaric world that is impermanent, it declines. Whereas there, whilst the beings and the Pure Land of Tushita is also impermanent, it doesn't degenerate. So therefore, and moreover, when one is born in a way that is likened to having the strength and, I don't know, the vigor of youth. So those of us now, mostly are somewhat aged, so we've seen this decline in our physical state. So when one's born in Tushita, this isn't the case. Rather, one is born with the vigor of youth, and this doesn't decline. So whilst it's impermanent in nature, it doesn't degenerate. The purpose, again, of all of this is twofold. We need to reflect on suffering so as to turn away from seeing samsara as delightful, as seeing that there is something worthy of striving for within samsara, of having to overcome our current way of thinking, where we are overcome by distraction to mundane pleasures, distraction by mundane problems. Rather, through reflecting on the suffering nature of samsara through the variety of ways, the threefold division, now the eightfold division, and also there's a sixfold division, we come to see that there are no mundane pleasures worthy of being distracted by, or mundane problems worthy of dominating us. So rather we give rise to a more wide and expansive outlook and see that there is something else worthy of striving for. So that's the first outcome of these reflections. The second outcome is, so how do I fulfill this wish? How do I make this my reality? And in particular here, we need to recognize the role of ignorance in our life, in particular the ignorance of self-grasping or the ignorance of true grasping. So this was the meditation presented last week. Look at how phenomena appear to us and see if they exist in this way. In particular, how the self appears and see if it exists in this way. In this way, we cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness, overcoming self-grasping. In this way, we progress towards attaining the state of freedom, the state of liberation. So this is the second goal to come to.
That
Hearing these teachings, reflecting on these teachings, it's very easy to become dispirited, thinking, oh, to understand what's going on, all this terminology, how does it all fit together? I have to reflect on this and on this and on this and on this. It can be a bit discouraging. Also, if we meditate and we see, oh, no improvement coming. I've tried now many times and still no improvements is coming. It's very easy to become discouraged. So here, maybe two key points that need to be made. It's until uncontrived definite emergence has arisen within us that this difficulty will be there. It is difficult. Until we give rise to the wish that the uncontrived wish for liberation, this uncontrived definite emergence, where we spontaneously think about freedom. Everything that we do is done through the lens of how will this help me attain freedom from samsara? Until that is achieved, it is difficult, kind of like pushing a ball up a hill. It is difficult. So that's the one point to make, that it's until we achieve uncontrived effort emergence, it is going to be difficult. Once that's achieved, progress does come much more easily because of the strength of mind. The second point here to make, though, is that everything that you have achieved in your life, all the skills that you have achieved were learned, and they came with difficulty. From a young age, through your schooling and your adulthood, and now the skills you're still learning, all of these have been achieved through effort, through diligence, through perseverance. And now you can do many things you couldn't do before. I imagine learning to drive a car must have seemed quite daunting. Your hands and your legs have to do many different things. You're looking all over the show, and then there is someone next to you talking away. There's all this distraction, and you've got to get so many things coordinated. It must have seemed really daunting, but you persevered, and now you drive unthinkingly. Likewise with your Dharma studies. If you look at what, however long you've been coming to teachings, you know a lot more now than you did before. And it's like this with everything in life. Things don't come easy. They come independent on effort, a sustained effort over a protracted period. Nothing more so than transforming our outlook, transforming our way of thinking. To take lifetimes of habits and transform that. This takes effort over a sustained period. But I want to encourage you in these two ways by saying, recognize all that you have achieved and how you did it, because this means you can achieve so much. And therefore, don't be discouraged. Change will come. And especially when this boundary of the generation of the spontaneous wish for definite emergence, this uncontrived wish, where everything that we do from that point is focused on the achievement of liberation, from that point, it is much easier. And why? Because of the strength of mind and the lack of distraction. Everything that one does becomes the activity of Dharma. Everything that one, and that is because everything that one does is focused on the goal of liberation. The motivating mind of every activity is on the achievement of liberation. That is the mind of uncontrived definite emergence. And that's when progress comes very rapidly. Our time together tonight is impermanent. This opportunity has now come to an end. So tonight we've continued to look at the sufferings of cyclic existence. So just to remind you of the purpose of this, we need to reflect on our situation, our actual situation. And we need to come to understand with wisdom what is the situation for beings such as ourselves, for ordinary samsaric beings. We need to remove these veils of ignorance and come to understand clearly what is the human condition, what are the other potential rebirths that await us at the end of this life. So there we have the potential of falling into the lower realms or remaining in the upper realms. But we need to see that wherever one is born, as long as one takes rebirth due to contaminated karma, one will suffer. And that there is no state or experience within the human realm that is worthy of striving for, that is a happiness that is worthy of our time and our energy. So we've looked at just one of the eight sufferings tonight, but my hope is that you'll reflect not just on this one, but on the three that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Because we will go through this at a slow pace, so that you have time in your daily meditations to develop ever stronger familiarity with reflecting on the sufferings of samsara. Because the outcome we need to come to is to recognize that there is nothing desirable, there's nothing pleasing to be found within samsara. We need to see with vivid clarity that cyclic existence is pervaded by suffering. Because it's independence on that, we will give rise to a real wish for freedom. We need to come to see that there's nothing here that's worthy of my time and energy. In fact, all these mundane pleasures and all the problems of ordinary life, as long as I stay obsessed by them, I will remain bound. I will not have the mental energy to gain liberation. So we need to develop this wish for freedom. And to do so, we need to reflect in detail on the sufferings of cyclic existence. Just here in conclusion, I'm going to add one more thing. Because when we spoke about reflecting on the sufferings of the lower realms, those are the practices shared with a being of initial capacity. Here, reflecting on the sufferings of the human realm is practices shared with the being of intermediate capacity. So I'd encourage you to do this meditation, but in accordance with the motivation of a practitioner of supreme capacity. The difference is that you're doing this meditation about yourself and your own experiences, and when you give rise to a feeling or to an understanding of suffering, of the suffering nature of samsara, you remind yourself that this is the situation that every ordinary being finds themselves in, lost in these realms of suffering. And you use that as a springboard to give rise to compassion, and then commit to continuing your practice for the sake of others, to attain liberation from suffering, so that you can become a skilled guide, become a Buddha, and help others be freed from suffering. And at that point, when you've given rise to this wish to be freed of suffering for the sake of others, then engage in the meditations to accumulate merit. So we have generosity, ethics, patience, joy, perseverance, concentration, in particular wisdom, what we looked at last week, reflecting on selflessness, on emptiness. So this is the sequence of meditations. I commit to meditating on this every day, and I hope you join me in this meditation, because we're going to go through this over a number of weeks. And if every day you reflect on the suffering nature of samsara, giving rise to a wish to be freed of suffering, recognizing you need to, then secondly, accumulate merit. So we have the meditations there of generosity and so forth, and there in particular, wisdom, selflessness, emptiness. So please join me in these meditations. Thank you.